This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NCAA basketball guru from the Field of 68. Joining us on Gwen and Chris is our friend Sean Paul. Sean, how are you today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, that game last night was not a sight to behold, I'll tell you that much.
No, it wasn't. But it was, you know, it was a little bit for Mountain West Conference fans. I mean, after all,
for sure.
Other than the Aztecs, the Mountain West had been 0-11 in the previous, whatever, you know, four or five years. So for the Mountain West to get a nice win over that's a third place team from the ACC. I don't know what that says about the rest of the ACC, but I guess we'll find out going forward. All right, let's start, Sean. I ask you about, you know, Boise State and Colorado tonight and take a little look at some of the other matchups. But let's start with the Aztecs and their draw. UAB in the first round. This is not metrically one of the best teams in the tournament. As a matter of fact, I think their net is actually lower than all of the 13 seeds, let alone being the lowest among the 12 seeds. So did the Aztecs truly get a beneficial draw here, or is that window dressing?
Honestly, for the way that San Diego State plays, I think this matchup was one of the worst 12 seeds they could have gotten.
Really?
Because
okay.
San Diego State, or UAB, has a ton of size. They play, honestly, more of an old-school style with the way this year's roster is built. They have Yaxel Lendenborg, who is a big man, double-double machine. He's been one of the better bigs in the country over the last couple months. And you have Javian Davis, who used to play at the high major level at Mississippi State and Alabama. Those two play together a lot, 6'9", 265 for Davis, 6'9", 230 for Lendenborg. They just have so much size up front. And if you're trying to stop Jaden Ladie, you have to have some size up front to stop that man. He was an All-American for a reason. But what it comes down to for UAB is they're going to have to be able to hit a couple perimeter shots. They're a really bad shooting team, 33% from deep. Eric Gaines, Alejandro Vasquez, Buddha Johnson, all three of those guys are – Buddha Johnson's a shooter of the bunch, but Eric Gaines and Vasquez are more defenders and more on-ball defenders that can cause havoc. And they're both athletic. They're both strong. They can be really good for this team. But they're just not shooters. So it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game in my mind. UAB's defense is pretty poor, but they will be able to flash a lot of different looks at you. And I think their defense is a little bit better than the numbers would indicate, just based on the raw talent they have. But San Diego State, I mean, I talked about it last time. Those guards have to score. Because if you're putting everything on Jaden Ladie's plate, at some point he's not going to have a good game. You're going to need Lamont Butler to score. You're going to need Darion Trammell to score. You're going to need Micah Parrish to score. You need somebody to score the basketball outside of Jaden Ladie, and we'll see who that is, but they need somebody to do it.
Talking to Sean Paul of the Field of 68 here on 97.3 The Fan. And real quick, did you say his name was Buddha Johnson?
Yeah, Buddha. His real name is Ephraim, but he goes by Buddha.
Okay, that's a pretty cool nickname, I got to say, if you're named Buddha as a basketball player.
I bet he's smooth.
I bet he is. But we had a writer on yesterday, and he was talking about the team and how, you know, they, as you said, might not be the best team in the tournament, but they could still do some damage. Do the Aztecs have the upper hand in regards to the bench? Because throughout the year, the bench has been a big thing for the team, and I feel like the bench could be the aspect that helps them win the game.
I mean, definitely. When you look at UAB, they want to play a lot of size. They really only go about 8 or 9 guys deep at most. Christian Coleman and Javian Davis kind of swap around at that 4 spot a little bit. You get some more athleticism and versatility with Coleman. I think that could actually work decently well in this game, depending on how the foul situation sets up, because Jaden Ladie draws fouls better than anybody not named Zach Edey in the country. So I think Coleman could see a steady diet in this game, especially with Jay Powell. They're very similar in the way they're built. But they bring Daniel Ortiz and Tony, another great name with Tony coming off the bench.
Tony.
Great names over here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's funny.
Those are two guys that can shoot it, so I'd like to see a little bit more of them than we typically do, to be honest with you. But, yeah, this isn't the most talented team in the field. They're probably one of the least talented 12 seeds in the field. But just the way this team is built, it scares me a little bit for the way San Diego State plays, because you want to face a team that doesn't have a litany of big men, and they have just that.
Yeah. Well, almost anything scares me if I'm San Diego State right now, because the Aztecs don't shoot the ball well, and they don't rebound great on the defensive glass, and that is where UAB makes its hay. So I definitely,
one of the best in the country.
Yeah, yeah, no question. The Aztecs are going to have their work cut out for them, but just for fun, let's look ahead at their draw. I mean, they made an amazing, you know, run last year. Nobody saw that coming. We can dream a little, can't we? Let's say they beat UAB. Is Auburn too good in the second round? I've seen that. Now, their metrics are off the charts. They are way up there in defensive efficiency, offensive efficiency. I've seen nothing but, you know, great reviews on Auburn. And then if they are able to get past that, they're going to have UConn. I know the Aztecs beat the number one seed last year, Alabama, but UConn seems like a whole nother animal.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. UConn is the best team in the country by a lot, in my opinion. They just have so many different options on the offensive end. All five starters average double digits. They can defend. They can just go on a 10-0 run faster than anybody in the country, and in a blink of an eye just change the entire game. They did it twice during the Big East tournament. This is the best team in the country. They've only lost a couple times all year, and they've just looked impressive all year long. But Auburn, you mentioned as well, in the potential second-round matchup, again, they have a big-time stud big in Jani Broom. They have Jalen Williams, who's another awesome piece. So San Diego State's interior is really good, but that's going to be tested in the potential first two-round matchups. But I wouldn't sleep on Yale in that first-round matchup against Auburn either. Yale is a pretty good team. They have a lot of size for an Ivy League team with 7-footer Danny Wolfe and Matt Noling, who made the game winner against Brown in the Ivy League title game. They have a really good point guard in Bez Embang, who I think is better than any point guard Auburn has on their roster, which is my big concern about them. They're very similar to San Diego State in the fact that they have a really good front court, but the guard play is really shaky, and that's why I don't think either team will make a super deep run in the tournament, although the metrics absolutely love Auburn. So you can draw some parallels to UConn being super beloved by the metrics last year and being a 4 seed, same deal for Auburn. I just don't think Auburn is nearly as good as that UConn team last year. But I could see San Diego State getting past Auburn if they beat UAB. I could see it. I don't know if I would predict it, but I could see it. There's a world where that could happen. I don't think San Diego State's going to make the Sweet 16 this year, though.
That's fair. That is fair, Sean.
I think it's fair. Just, you know, if you don't mind being wrong, it's fair.
Hey, I'd love to be wrong. I love this program and what Dutcher has. Just the guards, they just don't do it enough.
They haven't.
Because last year he had Bradley at least set the tone, and I know he didn't have a huge season last year compared to the previous year, but against Charleston and FAU, their two closest games of the tournament before the title game, who was there saving the day for San Diego State? Matt Bradley.
Yep, that's true. We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and I got a side question before my actual question. Do you just memorize everything about basketball?
It's pretty unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
He's ripping off these names. It's left and right.
Like, there's no way you're sitting in front of your computer doing this. This is coming off the top of your head.
I'm not sitting in front of my computer now.
I know. How do you do this?
I love this. I love this stuff.
I watch a lot of basketball. I study a lot of basketball. I don't know. See, if I was as good at memorizing math equations as I am at memorizing college basketball players, I would have been a lot better in school. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. You and me both, Sean.
I'm great at memorizing basketball.
You and me both.
So we were just talking about upsets and different teams that could do some things in the tournament. And here's the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know. Who's the upset that they should be picking in their bracket?
It's a great question. I think right now Samford is a trendy one over Kansas with Kevin McCullough being out, but I don't love the way that Samford's built against high major teams. They don't have a ton of size to really battle against Hunter Dickinson. They have two good big men at the Chora Chora and Jermaine Marshall. Those are two really good Southern Conference big men, but both are really wings playing the 4 and 5. I don't think they'll fare very well against Kansas because the way Kansas doesn't turn the ball over, Samford pressures a ton. They have a small backcourt and they shoot a ton of threes. I just don't think that's going to work against Kansas. But Grand Canyon over St. Mary is the one I've really dug my heels into at this point. I think they're a really good team. They're more athletic than St. Mary's, and obviously St. Mary's is really good. They have two great guards with Augustus Marshallonis, Aiden Mahaney. They're a great defensive team, but their offense can leave a little bit to be desired at times. They ran through the WCC this season. But when you look at Grand Canyon, I mean, they have a really, really good team. Did they beat San Diego State this year? Or
oh,
did
yeah.
They played, right?
Yeah, they beat the Aztecs rather handily down there. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I thought that was coming to my mind correctly. Ty and Grant Foster, one of the best players in this tournament. He's just an absolute stud. He's an NBA player. Grand Canyon's a really good offensive rebounding team. They have a lot of offensive weapons like Ray Harrison, Javon Blackshear. They just have so many dudes that can beat you. They're more athletic than St. Mary's. I think it'll be a Grand Canyon victory.
Well, there's something to go along with that pick of Grand Canyon is that on my bracket, I have St. Mary's going quite a ways, and I'm not very good in brackets. So,
Nor am I.
So, well, you know, that's just something for you people out there to keep in mind. Maybe Grand Canyon is one of those really good choices. Couple things. We had the 15s beat the 2s last year. We've got Purdue in this tournament. They've lost, you know, to double-digit seeds, it seems like, every year. Are we going to get one of those crazy tournaments again this year, Sean, or is it going to at least get a little bit back to semi-normal?
I mean, I don't think so, but at the same time, like, if I was – I could just be like, hey, St. Peter's is going to win it again, guys, but I'd just be lying to you because I don't think that's going to happen. I didn't think Princeton was going to win a game last year either. I didn't think St. Peter's was going to beat Kentucky. I thought St. Peter's would cover the 21.5-point spread or whatever it was against Kentucky. I didn't think they'd win. But Oral Roberts over Ohio State, I did actually predict that one, and that got me a lot of Twitter followers a good 3 years ago. But it's just you're really just guessing if you have a 15 or a 16 seed over a 1 or a 2 seed because the odds of it happening are just so slim. Obviously, it can happen, and you look at some of these 16 seeds, there's some talent there last night. I mean, it was a really good game by Wagner, but they play 7 guys. Like, that's not a formula to win against a 1 seed. Then you have Montana State and Grambling State. They play tonight. I don't think either of those two teams are going to win a game as a 16. Stetson, I think, is the most talented 16 seed out there, and they play UConn. Like, that's just a terrible matchup. But yeah. Jalen Blackman, if you're looking for a guard who can really go, he scored 43 points in the A-Sun title game. He is one of the best guard scorers in the country. Stephon Swenson right next to him, that's a really good guard duo, but they're playing UConn. They're not going to win that game. So you can still find things to enjoy about these games, but odds are they're probably not going to win.
We're talking to Sean Paul, Field of 68 here, and my last question is very simple. Where can people go to find your thoughts, find your articles, and what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at SeanPaulCBB, to see all of the NCAA tournament thoughts I have, and tweeting about random transfers because everybody is entering the transfer portal nowadays. So maybe San Diego State will get a couple of them.
We probably will. I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go. I mean, I told everybody before you came on, I said, this guy's really knowledgeable, so get your brackets out. And you have done nothing to change my mind, Sean. I mean, I can't believe the in-depth knowledge you have. The one thing that people are saying this year is that UConn, Houston, and Purdue, those three, are just better than everybody. Do you have all three of them being able to get to the Final Four, or are they likely to run into some problems somewhere? I know you don't think UConn will. What about the other two?
That's a great question. Well, I'll just say my pick here. I have UConn winning the whole thing. I know that's a very chalk pick these days, but that's just the best team I've seen this year. I've watched a lot of UConn because they're just that fun to watch. They're the best team I've seen. I'm perfectly okay being wrong if they're not going to win at all. But the other two, I have Houston going down in the round of 32. I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but I could air my thoughts on them real fast. Their defense is elite, like always. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. But I've said for months, what's going to happen to Houston when L.J. Crier and Jamal Shedd have an off-scoring night? And we saw exactly what happens in that situation against Iowa State. They were completely outmatched by a really good Iowa State team as a 2-seed. Probably should have been a 1-seed in my opinion. But they got completely outmatched because they don't have enough scoring outside of those two. They need those two to combine for 40 points in a game if they're going to win that game against a high-level team. I have Texas A&M taking them down in the round of 32. For me, it just comes down to the lack of scoring options, and they are just so depleted right now, which isn't the style that Kelvin Sampson wants his teams to have. He likes having a ton of depth, but Juwan Roberts is shaken up right now. He should play, I assume. He played in the conference title game, but I don't think he's 100%. You're down 3 rotation players. Houston's just not as good as the other two teams, in my opinion. I think it's UConn and Purdue, and then a decently sized gap between Houston and the other two.
Okay.
I don't think Houston's going to make a deep run. I just don't see it this year. Purdue, I have making it to, I think, the Elite Eight and losing. Obviously, they can win it all, too. But I think UConn is the best of that bunch by a pretty clear margin.
Well, Sean, I'm a lot smarter about the tournament than I was 20 minutes ago. Thanks for great insight. Let's catch up to you again, and we'll preview the Aztec Sweet 16 matchup against UConn, the one that you don't think is going to happen.
Title rematch? All right, I'm down for that. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Hey, we owe them from last year. We appreciate it, Sean. Thanks. Great stuff as always. Again, give us the Twitter thing, and it's the Field of 68, the website that people can follow. Because the rest of the guys are just as smart as you are. So tell us again.
Twitter at Sean Paul CBB and the Field of 68. I believe it's just at the Field of 68. Nightly show every night with a bunch of really smart college basketball minds. And they'll be going live again tonight. So make sure you pay attention to that. The Field of 68 daily, a written version of everything you need to know about college basketball. Subscribe to that newsletter. You can find all that information on the Field of 68's Twitter. And I believe it's on mine as well.
Awesome. Wow. Great stuff, Sean. We really enjoyed it. Thanks again.
Sean.
We'll still talk to you again. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There you go. Sean Paul from the Field of 68.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.